Our scripture reading comes from the book of Romans. We have two verses from chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, and then Romans 5, 1 through 11. You can find them in your pew Bibles, the first on page 1112, and then a few pages over at 1116. Romans chapter 1, 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And in chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. When I was young, our church had an annual lay Sunday. All the duties in leading the service were covered by lay members of the congregation. Today, because Pastor Eric is out of town, we are having our own lay Sunday, even if it is not regularly scheduled. I'm certainly grateful to each one who has stepped up to share their own gifts in leading the worship today. It seems appropriate on Reformation Sunday that the people of the congregation should play such a pivotal role. Let us begin with a history of St. John's Christian Church. It includes the movement of immigrants from Europe fleeing the political and economic turmoil of their homeland. Among those immigrants were several families from four villages in the Swiss canton of Schaffhausen. In the village of Oppertshofen was the Reformed Church, which is considered to be the mother church of St. John's. And if you look on a map, that little town of Oppertshofen is way up in the north, that if you went east or west or north, you'd end up in Germany. All right. And those four villages, I believe, have since consolidated into a single one. The immigration of those Swiss immigrants who settled here in northwestern Ohio occurred between 1837 and 1852. And it was in 1852 that the St. John's Reformed Church was first organized. Those Swiss immigrants were accustomed to organized worship services and religious education. They brought with them the Bible, the Heidelberg Catechism, and their songbook. With the Swiss heritage within the history of St. John's, that ties our congregation to Protestant reformer Ulrich Zwingli from Zurich, Switzerland. The Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg on October 31st, 1517. Those 95 Theses described criticisms Luther had with the Catholic Church, the universal church of the day. The Reformation dealt with complex theological, political, and economic events that coincided in history. Three major criticisms dealt with: indulgences, the power of the Pope, and the wealth of the church. While Luther's original intention was to reform the church, the reform was not welcomed by the church, and eventually the Reformation had to result in the creation of the Protestant church. One of the criticisms Luther and other reformers had with the church was the selling of indulgences. If a person, out of remorse for their sins and as a sign of repentance, made a financial gift to help with the building of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, then the church would furnish that person with a certificate acknowledging their gift and promising that they or their loved ones would be freed from a portion of the misery expected in the afterlife. The certificates offered by the church promised to lessen the time of cleansing for oneself or others who had already died. The certificates were known as indulgences and were basically a way for people to pay to be forgiven, as well as a way for the church to raise funds. Luther insisted that people are not forgiven because of anything they do, including the buying of indulgences or doing enough good work. Instead, we are forgiven because of who God is. We are loved and forgiven because God is full of grace and mercy. Every Protestant church traces their roots back to this moment in history. While Martin Luther was active in Germany, Ulrich Zwingli was active in Switzerland. While the two held many principles of reform in common, Luther and Zwingli differed in their view of communion. Luther held to the belief of consubstantiation, that the real body and blood of Christ were present in the elements. Zwingli adopted the position that the Lord's Supper is mainly a memorial of Christ's death, a symbolic remembrance, a Reformed belief that St. John's holds to today. Reformed churches recognize the Protestant Reformation each year on the last Sunday of October, just as our celebration of Christmas each year reminds us of Christ's birth, and as our celebration of Easter Sunday each year reminds us of Christ's resurrection, Reformation Sunday reminds us of the important work of the Protestant Reformation. We might echo the words of the child during the Passover celebration. Why is this night different from all other nights? Why is this day so important? Though October 31st, 1517 was a long time ago, there are reasons why it is an important day for us to remember in today's modern times. First, Reformation Sunday gives us a chance to remember. We all have a family story, how we got to this point in time in our own history. Stories about parents or grandparents, about the things that have shaped our families over the years. When my brother spoke here a couple years back, he began with a story from our time growing up. It was a good way to connect with us. Think about a story that your family shares. It is part of what defines your family. Reformation Sunday is a day when we remember and retell the family stories of our faith. Stories about men and women who came before us and taught us about the faith. Stories about people who risked everything so that we would be able to gather and worship in the manner that we do. One such story took place in the autumn of 1519 in the city of Zurich, where Zwingli was assigned to work. The post gave him little income or official influence, but great scope for preaching. Zurich suffered an outbreak of the plague. 2,000 of its 7,000 citizens died. Ulrich Zwingli chose to stay in the city to care for the sick and dying. In the process, he himself contracted the disease and nearly died. Zwingli took 3 months to recover from the plague, and shortly after that, he suffered the loss of a brother. Those events deepened the spiritual and theological elements of his thinking and teaching. And this personal sacrifice also increased his popularity with the people. Today, many people can relate to that experience. I spoke with one man who had been fighting COVID in the hospital for 3 months, while the rest of the world rushed by. Many people have lost a family member to death. Perhaps they too can recognize a change in their understanding of the world and their relationship to God. Second, Reformation Sunday reminds us of the most important things. Throughout the year, we hear sermons about many different biblical and faith topics in worship, about how we live our daily lives, the choices we make, the habits of our faith. On Reformation Sunday, we are brought back to the most important truth, the truth that compelled Luther and Zwingli and several other reformers to risk their lives. Some of Zwingli's key theses were that the church is born of the Word of God and that Christ alone is its head, that its laws are binding only insofar as they agree with the Scripture, and that Christ alone is man's righteousness. This last was a key point from our scriptures reading today. The gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. At the end of chapter 4 in Romans, we read that Jesus was raised to life for our justification. Because of that, we no longer need to be enemies with God. We can have peace, a new relationship focused on harmony. To be reconciled is to put an end to hostility. And in Romans 5:11, we realize that it is through Jesus Christ that we have received reconciliation. On Reformation Sunday, we return to the core of our faith. God first loved, and God continues to shower us with grace and mercy. Third, Reformation Sunday challenges us to do better. Through retelling our story and returning to the core of our faith, Reformation Sunday prompts us to do better. We are called to be more loving and grace-filled because God was gracious and merciful to us. We are called to repent of the times that we have placed barriers that we have kept others from hearing the good news. We are called to remember that all that we are is a gift from God. We are called to put a little orange juice in us that can be squeezed out. There is a strange parallel between the challenges that Ulrich Zwingli faced and our situations today. Our challenge is to do better. Luther and Zwingli agreed on so many much-needed reforms for the church, yet because of a disagreement on the miracle of the sacrament of communion, they could not work together or be in harmony. We are called to do better. Zwingli also faced stern opposition from another group of sincere believers, the Anabaptists. These were the forerunners of many of the Christians in our community today. Fortunately, I trust we are doing better. Ultimately, Zwingli died as part of a Protestant army in a military campaign. The reformations were so great that they became part of the political scene. Even today, our religious beliefs have to be a key part in our lives and how we interact with our culture. But it cannot be so important that we lose sight of what Christ has done for us and what we are to do for each other. We can do better. Luther and Zwingli and others courageously declared the truths of the gospel. Out in the hallway, we have a bulletin board sharing notes of thanks and to our pastor and what he does for us. And I appreciated one in particular that read, "I appreciate you preaching the truth, even if it is not the popular opinion in today's society." After that, the parallels kind of fall apart because the rest of the message reads, "I also like the corny jokes you incorporate in your sermon." I couldn't find anything about Luther adding corny jokes. A key belief lifted up through the Reformation is the biblical view of the priesthood of all believers, as highlighted in 1 Peter 2. The priesthood of all believers says that all believers in Christ share in the ministry of Christ. From verse 9, we are a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We are to live such good lives that others may see our good deeds and glorify God. Everyone who believes in Jesus Christ is able to read, study, interpret, and apply the Bible's teachings. We do not have to rely on a Luther or a Zwingli to know our Lord better. That is one reason it is so important that Bible translation moves forward. To have the scripture available to everyone in their native tongue, what better way is there for a believer to grow in faith What better tool to witness to a questioning non-believer? All believers are united with Christ and are one in Christ. In the life and ministry of the local church, the pastor and the congregation are to work and serve in cooperation with one another. Together, the clergy and the laity participate in all aspects of the life of the church, ministering together to do better in upholding and sharing the good news of the gospel. Through their efforts to reform the church, the reformers were living out the faith that the Apostle Paul wrote about in his letter to the Romans in the passage we've read from chapters 1 and 5. The reformers were not ashamed of the gospel. Rather, they wholeheartedly believed in the gospel, knowing the Bible is the powerful word of God. We heard a good deal about the powerful word of God last Sunday when our Gideon representative shared with us. Despite great effort, you might recall him telling us about the missionary was seeing no results until a miraculous delivery of the word to the witch doctor, who, just by reading it and getting no instruction, was called to come to the Lord. The reformers had become very frustrated with the actions of the church in their day. They were proponents of the righteousness of God, striving to restore the righteousness of the faith in the church. Reformer Ulrich Zwingli believed in the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which said that sinners were saved not by good works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Look again at Paul's letter to the Roman Christians from the end of chapter 4. Who is delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification? Jesus Christ. How do we have peace with God and have access to this state of grace? Through Jesus Christ. Who died for us while we were still sinners and ungodly? Only someone with superhuman love. Who has saved us from God's wrath and reconciled us to Him? Only His Son through His death and life. The reformers were on a solid foundation when they taught salvation through Christ and not by anything that we can do. Romans 3:28 reminds us that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. It's not our doing. It's not our actions. It's not our giving money to the church. We are justified only through faith in Jesus Christ. This was a key truth of the Protestant reformers, justification by faith. This biblical truth needs to continue to be a key truth of the church today, faith in Christ. Amen.
At this time, let us give from our hearts. I invite the ushers forward. Gracious God, giver of all gifts, in this moment, make us aware not so much of what we will give, but what we have received from you and have yet to share. Receive this offering that it might help the needy, save the lost, and bring glory to your name. Amen.
Our closing song this morning is Mighty to Save, and after following the spoken benediction, we will be singing the bridge of Mighty to Save.
Mercy fall on me.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his countenance shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.